to delete inactive accounts, the EU passes new cryptocurrency regulations, a ransomware attack cripples one of Indonesia's largest banks, and Zimbra servers targeted by new Malas Locker ransomware. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 19th of May, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's top story, Google will delete accounts that have been inactive for more than 2 years. The new policy came into effect this week, but Google won't start mass purging inactive accounts until December. Accounts that were created but never used will be the first to go, then accounts that saw some activity. But before deleting an account, Google will send multiple email notifications to that account's Gmail address and recovery email up to 6 months in advance. Google VP of Product Management, Ruth Criccielli, says the company made the decision because abandoned accounts are 10 times more likely to use weak passwords or not have MFA enabled. Users can keep an old account active by logging in and performing an action like reading or sending an email, watching a YouTube video, or running a Google search. In other news, the European Union has passed a new legal framework to regulate the cryptocurrency market inside the EU. Under the Markets in Crypto Assets Framework, or MiCA, companies that want to trade crypto assets in the EU must apply for a license and disclose information on the risks, costs, and charges that consumers face. Companies that mint crypto assets will also be forced to reveal how much energy they use. But the most important MiCA requirement is that companies take serious steps to combat money laundering via their platforms. This will involve know your customer requirements for all European cryptocurrency exchanges. In the US, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte has signed a bill into law that has officially banned the TikTok app across the state. The law prohibits TikTok's parent company from operating in the state, and it also requires app stores to block users in Montana from downloading TikTok. The law doesn't include penalties for users, but allows authorities to fine app stores $10,000 a day if they fail to comply. The law will come into effect on the 1st of January 2024, while other US states have banned the TikTok app on government employee devices. Montana is the first US state to legislate a complete ban on the app. Staying in the US, and the FTC has filed an action against Easy Healthcare, the Illinois company behind the Premon fertility app. The agency says the company deceived users by sharing their ovulation and pregnancy information with third-party companies such as AppsFlyer, Google, and even two companies based in China. The FTC has asked a judge to stop the company from sharing any data unless it obtains explicit consent from its users. Smartphones seized by US law enforcement are being auctioned online without being wiped, exposing their previous owner's data. The devices are typically sold via PropertyRoom.com, which is an auction site that sells police-seized inventory that hasn't been reclaimed by the original owners. Researchers from the University of Maryland says they were able to buy 228 smartphones from the site and extract data from most of them. This included a lot of information like emails, SMS messages, browser histories, bank and credit card information, social security numbers, and even sexually explicit photos and videos. The research team says many of the phones either didn't have passwords or PINs, and others had easy-to-guess access codes. Indonesia's BSI Bank says it's restored its systems after a ransomware attack hit its IT infrastructure earlier this month. The incident caused major outages at BSI branches, its ATM network, and its web and mobile banking services. BSI is one of Indonesia's largest banks, and the hack is considered the worst incident in the history of Indonesia's financial sector. The Lockbit ransomware gang took credit for the intrusion and claimed to have spent more than 2 months inside the bank's network. BSI says it's working with authorities to investigate and verify allegations that the personal data of more than 15 million of its customers was leaked online. Staying with ransomware, and French electronics manufacturer Lacroix has closed three of its factories this week to clean up after a ransomware attack that took place over the weekend. Factories in France, Germany and Tunisia were shut down. Lacroix says the three factories accounted for 19% of its total output last year. The company says the incident is expected to have minimal impact on production because two of the factories were scheduled to operate for only 3 days a week this week anyway. Another ransomware story, and a new ransomware gang named Malas Locker is hacking and encrypting Zimbra servers. The attack started at the end of March and are still ongoing. The group has turned some heads because it's not requesting ransoms from hacked companies. Instead, the gang asks victims to make a donation to a non-profit charity that they approve of for a victim to receive a decryption key. The Malas Locker data leak site currently holds the stolen data of three companies and the Zimbra configuration of 169 other victims. Moving to law and order now, and the US Justice Department has unsealed charges against an 18-year-old from Wisconsin for hacking and selling access to accounts on fantasy sports and betting websites. Officials say that Joseph Garrison used credential stuffing to gain access to approximately 60,000 accounts. Garrison and co-conspirators stole at least $600,000 from compromised accounts. The attacks took place in 2022, and the FBI identified and raided Garrison's home in February of this year. Officials say they found more than 40 million username and password pairs and more than 700 configuration files that could be used to launch credential stuffing attacks against different websites. Evidence retrieved from Garrison's phone also included conversations with co-conspirators on how to execute the credential stuffing attacks and how to steal funds from the accounts. While not officially confirmed, Garrison is believed to be the person behind credential stuffing attacks that hit sites like DraftKings and FanDuel last year. A Russian court has sentenced IT specialist Yevgeny Kotikov to 3 years in prison for participating in a DDoS attack against Russian websites organised by pro-Ukraine hacktivists. The DDoS attacks took place in February last year, shortly after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and targeted the website of the Russian Defence Ministry. Kotikov was also ordered to pay a $10,000 fine. Security firm Confiant has discovered a new network of fake travel websites that lure visitors into handing over their payment card details and charging expensive fees for fake reservations at real-world hotels. Confiant says the threat actor is using search engine ads to drive traffic to their sites, with their ads being centered around the keyword reservations. Confiant believes that more than 55,000 victims land on the malicious sites each month. Researchers say the group appears to be using a call center in India to secure reservations, with an average loss of $800 per victim. Russian cybersecurity firm Byzone has published a report on a lesser-known threat actor called Leakwolf. The group started operations in April last year and appears to be the latest in a long line of pro-Ukrainian hacktivist operations. Byzone says the group breaks into corporate networks in Russia and leaks stolen data via its Telegram channel. Leakwolf is very active and has leaked data from more than 40 Russian companies this year alone. Cybersecurity firm Sequoia says Russia's APT-28 group is using compromised Ubiquiti routers to host phishing infrastructure. The phishing pages are capable of bypassing 2FA and targeted UKR.net, a popular webmail used by Ukrainians. Sequoia says it found at least five hacked Ubiquiti routers hosting a malicious Python script it linked to APT-28. SSH rootkits were also found on the servers, but researchers couldn't tell if they were installed by APT-28 or another threat actor. Latvian network equipment vendor MikroTik hasn't yet patched a zero-day vulnerability that was used at the Pwn2Own hacking contest last December. The vulnerability allows an attacker on the same network to execute code with root privileges without needing to authenticate. Pwn2Own organiser ZDI reported the issue to MikroTik on the day of the contest, but has not received a response in the past 6 months. And finally, Apple has released security updates for the vast majority of its products, including 3 zero-days that have been exploited in the wild. All 3 zero-days impact WebKit, the engine at the heart of Apple's Safari browser. One of the 0 days allowed an attacker to escape the browser's security sandbox, while the other two can be used to execute malicious code via maliciously crafted web content. And that is all for this podcast edition. Today's show was brought to you by our sponsor, Proofpoint. You can find them at proofpoint.com. Thanks for your company.